Good day to all of you and welcome to WeSchools Distance Learning Program on Marketing Management. We are going to get into understanding Chapter 12, the distribution decisions, which is the third P of marketing. A very quick look at the learning objectives. We are trying to understand what is distribution, what are the different modes of distribution, how do you distribute products from producers to suppliers, what kind of channel structures are there for consumer and industrial goods? How do you formulate a channel strategy? What are the issues involved in channel management? And what is logistics and supply chain management as a end-to-end concept, unlike just channel management? So, very distribution and marketing channels has become a very important part of marketing and organizational work today. If you see over the last few years, over the last decades, literally thousands and thousands of new products are getting added to the market, and this virtually limitless variety of products that is available and what the customer has to buy has become a routine activity for many millions of customers and organizations. But behind this seemingly what we call ordinary process of buying your day-to-day products and items is an extraordinary effort and an extraordinary process that combines businesses, people, technologies, making the availability of these products to the consumers so simple and easy. And this is the back-end process of logistics, supply chain and distribution. A marketing channel. The definition of the word marketing channel is a network of organizations that create time, place and possession utilities for the customer. You may have a sales channel which actually helps, which is doing the selling, and you have a facilitating channel which is all organizations and services which combine to make the sale or which support the sales channel. Marketing channels are also a set of interdependent organizations that facilitate the transfer of ownership of products from producers to business users or consumers. Channel members, also called intermediaries in marketing terms, also called intermediaries, resellers and middlemen, negotiate with one another, buy and sell products, facilitate the movement, storage and transfer of ownership from buyer to seller. Supply chain is nothing but the set of all connected business entities that perform or support the marketing channel functions, which perform or support the marketing channel functions. Now, key channel functions, what does the channel do at the end of the day? The channel results or creates specialization and division of labor. Producers hire channel partners to perform jobs or tasks that they are unwilling to perform or undertake, or in the intermediary or the channel partner is better prepared to perform them. The channel creates four types of utilities: time utility, making the product available when needed; place utility, making the product available where it is needed; form utility, making the product available in the right quantity; and the possession utility, willing to exchange something of value for the product. Channels also create assortment and variety. They carry the right mix of products or the right mix of product assortment and variety to meet a large amount of customer requirements. Another channel, important channel function, is overcoming discrepancies. Now, discrepancy is the difference in the amount of goods that are produced and the quantity of goods that the customer wants to buy. Channel partners typically work to overcome these discrepancies. Now, there are different kinds of discrepancies. The first is called the assortment discrepancies, which is the lack of all the items necessary to receive the full attention from a product or a set of products the customer may buy. A typical manufacturer may manufacture or produce one product, but may manufacture or produce one product or product line, but the customer may require a set of complementary and supplementary products to be able to use the first product, For example, computers require software, require antivirus, require printers, require cartridges, etc., to enable the usage of the computers. Similarly, a digital camera requires batteries, it requires SD RAM, memory cards, external flashlights, microphones, etc. for operation. So, one product line, you require supplementary or complementary products to realize the full benefit of that initial product that you want to buy. This is called assortment discrepancy. Then you have temporal discrepancy, which is created when the product is manufactured and the consumer is not ready to purchase it. And a good example of that is seasonal products like umbrellas or air conditioners. So, here the manufacturer will continue to manufacture throughout the year and he will keep giving it to distributors who will stock it on his behalf and they will sell it when the right season or the festival has come. Then you have spatial discrepancy, which is the difference between the location of the producer and the location of what we call widely scattered market. So, it is the discrepancy created when the manufacturer is at one place and the customer is at another place. And typically, for example, a customer is not willing to go to a toothpaste manufacturer to buy toothpaste. He wants to buy it from somewhere near his house. So, that is another discrepancy. The next thing which channel partners do is create contact efficiency. Now, what is contact efficiency? Marketing channels simplify distribution by reducing the number of transactions that are required to obtain products from manufacturers to consumers. Example, retailers do category management and get a host of products or a basket of products that a typical consumer may require, thus enabling one buying trip or one purchasing trip can result in the purchase of many different items. Similarly, an industrial distributor brings an assortment of MRO items together to enable a B2B customer to source all the MRO items from one single point. So, this is contact efficiency. So, coming to the market channel structure, the channel structure refers to the form and shape that the entire marketing channel, distribution channel takes to perform all the tasks necessary to make products available to the customer. The factors involved in the channel structure, there are three basic dimensions involved in defining and deciding what we call the channel structure. A channel has a length, channel has intensity at various stages, and we have to determine the type of intermediaries that will be involved in the channel structure. Now, the length of the channel structure refers to the number of levels that are present in a marketing channel or a distribution channel. You have a zero level channel, which is the manufacturer selling straight to the customer through personal selling. Then you have a one level channel structure or channel length, where you have manufacturer and one intermediary in between and the customer. Then you have a two level channel length, you have a three level, four level, etc., depending on the number of levels that you have designed in your marketing channel. The intensity of the channel structure, which is the next parameter that is important, refers to whether the channel is involved in intensive, selective, or exclusive distribution. Now, the level of distribution intensity, what is intensive distribution? Intensive distribution is aimed at having a product available in every outlet where the target audience or the target customer might want to buy it. Example are staples like food items or convenience products like soap, shampoos, etc., or toothpaste. These are goods and products which typically require intensive distribution. The second level of distribution intensity is called selective distribution. This is a distribution which is achieved by screening the dealers to eliminate all except a few in a single area. And examples of this is typically to, you know, more expensive products that are not bought on a daily frequent basis. So, for example, shopping goods, or you may have consumer durables, you know, getting into selective distribution. Then you have what we call exclusive distribution, where you entail establishing one or maximum two or three dealers in a given area. When we are talking of a given area, we are talking of a city. So, for example, a Rado may have, you know, a few dealers in Bombay, or only one dealer in Pune, or one dealer in Rajkot, or one dealer in Baroda. But a Colgate may have hundreds of dealers in all these cities. Exclusive distribution does not permit too many dealers, as the objective is to retain the exclusivity of the product, and therefore the distribution of the product is owned also at exclusive outlets. It also does not allow the dealer to carry other competing goods or brands. An example of exclusive distribution is specialty goods, high luxury products, products with high level of brand value, or very expensive products all require exclusive distribution. Apart from the length of the channel structure and the type of channel, intensity of channel distribution, you also have types of intermediaries, the types of intermediaries that you think are important in the channel structure. Now, the type of intermediary actually refers to the different types of dealers and intermediaries that can be involved at various levels of the channel. Examples of types of channel intermediaries: you have retailers, you can have merchant wholesalers, you can have distributors, you can have agents and brokers, you can have CNF agents or clearing and forwarding agents as types of channel intermediaries. Now, all these will perform different role as a part of the channel structure. What are the roles? Let us see some of the different types of channels that are possible to have as channel intermediaries. The direct channel is something where the producers sell directly to the customer. This involves either telemarketing or mail order or catalog shopping or what we call viral or network marketing, electronic retailing, and also personal selling. Examples: Avon Cosmetics, which are sold through direct channel, or the World Book Encyclopedia or Time Music, which use direct channels. Then, what are the typical channels available for consumer products or B2C products? You have retailers, typically a group of people, when the retailer is large, who can buy large quantities of different products from different manufacturers and offer them as a basket or a complete category to the end consumer. Wholesalers, these are type of intermediaries which are used for low cost, frequently purchased items, like toothpaste, candy, gum, chocolates. Then CNF agents or clearing and forwarding agents and brokers, they play the role of facilitators. Brokers don't take title to the goods, but they facilitate the purchase of goods from manufacturers to customers by being in between people or middlemen. The CNF agent also transports, stores, and ensures supplies to dealers in their respective geographies without taking title to the goods. So they act as an interim store of goods between the manufacturers and the dealers and distributors in the areas. Similarly, let us look at what are the channel challenges in B2B markets. B2B products typically have much fewer intermediaries, and B2B marketing typically goes in for what we call selective distribution. many products in the B2B market are sold directly to the customers because the customer does not want to deal with middlemen in these markets. Sale to government, which is the largest customer in any B2B market of the world, is normally direct. Most industrial distributors will either sell low value items like MRO items, and they may sell high value items to service what are called SME customers whose order values are small, but large customers, key accounts, major accounts will be handled directly by the company. And finally, in B2B channels, we are seeing the increased use of internet for direct sales and improving purchasing efficiency in the system. So these are typical challenges and elements of the B2B channel strategy. Now, let us look at what are the factors which affect the channel's choice. There are three broad factors which affect the channel choice. The first is market factors, which is demand, potential, customer profiles, and size of market. Then you have product factors like price, product life cycle stage, and the delivery. And then you have manufacturer factors like size of management, financial and marketing resources at the command of the organization, price control, so on and so forth. So these are the factors which normally affect the choice of the channel partner. The determinants of the channel structure. Now, how do you define the channel structure? You have to define the distribution tasks that the channel structure or the channel partner or the channel strategy or the distribution strategy has to achieve. You have to determine the economics of performing the distribution tasks, and you have to balance that with the management's desire for control of the distribution network. Now, the key distribution tasks that must be performed in order to consummate the transactions between buyers and sellers is the broad, largely broad objective that the distribution function must have. Now, the distribution tasks can be to determine the discrepancy between the production and the consumption. Typically, it is the discrepancy in the quantity, discrepancy in the assortment, discrepancy in the time, and discrepancy in the place, resulting in form, time, place, and assortment utility. Now, the development of an efficient marketing channel structure is based on two guiding principles. We have already discussed this, the specialization and division of labor and the transaction efficiency. The specialization or division of labor occurs when each participant in the marketing channel focuses on performing those activities at which it is most efficient or most cost effective. This results in creating efficiencies across a large quantity of products, which is called economies of scale, and a large variety of products, which is called economies of scope, which is what the division and specialization of labor is what I explained. The transaction efficiency results to the effort to reduce the number of transactions between the producers and consumers by becoming you create value for the customer by reducing the transaction that the customer needs to have with the producer and vice versa. Another very important factor which is impacting the channel structure, design, and the strategy is the management's desire for control of the distribution network. Many producers, many marketers would like to control the channel partners very closely to ensure that their policies and their products and brands are treated in the right way by the channel partner, and there is no dilution of the brand equity of the company. In general, the smaller the channel structure, the higher the degree of control. Larger the channel structure, smaller or lower is the degree of control. Similarly, if you have less number of channel partners, the higher is the degree of control. If you have larger number of channel partners, lower is the degree of control. Similarly, lower the intensity of distribution, higher is the degree of control. And if you have higher intensity of distribution, lower is the degree of control. So, these are the factors which determine the ability of the management or the seller or the marketer to control the distribution function. Having understood how the channel structure is designed and handled, let us look at the flows in the marketing channel. The channel flows that are defined are the links that tie channel members and other agencies together in this entire process of the distribution of goods and services, or the movement of goods and services from producers to customers. There are five types of flows in marketing channels. You have a product flow, you have a negotiation flow, you have an ownership flow, you have an information flow, and you have a promotion flow. These are the five different kinds of flows which happen between the channel partners and link each channel partner to each other in this vast process of distribution management. Now, marketing channels as social systems. Now, at one point in time, the view of marketing channel or distribution channel was very narrow from an economic perspective. Today, marketing channels are seen as social systems as well, because they involve people interacting with each other in different organizations, institutions. It involves the emotions of people, it involves relationships, and therefore the whole marketing channel or a distribution channel is now a network of people and emotions also. Coming to power in marketing channels, marketing channel power refers to the ability of one channel member to influence the behavior of another channel partner. Now, power in marketing channels is very critical for the supplier or the manufacturer or the marketeer, because a powerful distributor can influence other distributors to follow policies or to follow strategies that may not be to the marketeer or the organization's interest. Related to power in the marketing channel, we also have conflict in marketing channels. Now, conflict in the marketing channel happens when one channel partner or one channel member believes or understands or operates in a manner that impedes the attainment of another channel partner's goals and objectives. The conflict in the channel partner can also happen between the producers or the manufacturers of goods and the different members of the channel partner, either when the manufacturer of the good tries to force or tries to enforce certain policies which may not be in the interest of the channel partners, or he restricts or he forces the channel partners to buy certain products and give them as a reason to give them access to another product, or he comes up with pricing strategies which are discriminatory, in which case you can have conflict happening between the channel partner and the producer. Now coming to the management of the channel relationships, the channel power and the channel control are the two elements which manage the channel relationships. The channel power is a channel member's capacity to control or influence the behavior of other members, and the channel control is a situation where one channel member affects another channel member's behavior. Now, these two parameters create channel conflict, and channel conflict results in management of the relationship between the channel partners. Now, inequities in channel relationships, either in terms of the terms and conditions of the appointment of channel partners or having discriminatory policies across channel partners, can lead to channel conflict. So, the sources of conflict can be conflicting goals, can be failure to fulfill expectations, can be ideological differences, it can be different perceptions of reality, it can be discriminatory pricing, it can be unrealistic expectations, so on and so forth. Typically, there are two types of conflicts. One is the horizontal conflict. This is occurring among channel partners which are at the same level, and you have vertical conflict which happens when you have channel partners at different levels in the marketing, in the channel structure. So, how to manage this is a constant challenge in the channel industry, in the channel partner this thing. Now coming to channel partnering, this is the joint effort of all channel partners to come together to create a supply chain which serves the customers effectively and efficiently and creates a competitive advantage, not only for the channel partner, but also for the organization at large. Now, channel partnerships and alliances are created as firms try to leverage, as created as companies, marketeers, sellers, organizations try to leverage the strength of the channel partner or the strength of the channel network to effectively reach out to customers by giving them more and more products to sell to these customers. Majority or what are the strategic planning decisions for place or distribution as a part of the marketing mix? We have to determine what are the distribution goals or what are the goals of the channel partners. What is the ideal level of market exposure in terms of the number of outlets required to service a particular market or a particular set of customers or a typical customer base? What is the service level that the customer is expecting from the distributors? What is the channel type? Who will manage the overall channel? How to manage the transportation, storage, material handling, the different taxes in different parts of the country as a part of the distribution channel, and what are the kind of middlemen that are required for the organization to run this whole operation seamlessly and efficiently. Let us look at some of the supporting channel functions. So logistics is the process or the operation of transporting, storing and handling of all the goods after they have left the manufacturer to match the target customer's need within the overall marketing mix of the organization. Physical distribution is another name for what we call logistics. Now, in physical distribution, you have to determine what are the service levels that the customer wants in terms of stocking, in terms of variety, in terms of assortment, in terms of the availability of goods and services in the reorder levels, and finding the lowest total cost of physical distribution for the right service level or the expected service level of the customer. That's physical distribution concept. Then you have a total cost approach, which looks at the cost of alternative systems, identifying all the alternatives, understanding the cost implications of all the distribution options that are available to the organization, evaluating them, and then coming to a consensus or a conclusion as to which approach to have from a total cost perspective, which at the same time achieves the requirements of the customer from the desired service level of distribution. Now, what are the factors affecting distribution service levels? What is the advance information available on product availability, which means what is the information that the distributor can have on the stock levels that the producer or the manufacturer is carrying on the product? What is the typical time to get, enter and process an order? What is the back order process for managing the orders? Where are the warehouses and how is the warehouse, what is the warehouse strategy of the organization? How accurate is the organization in filling orders, in supplying orders? Damages in transit, shipping, storing, handling? Any other information on delays like strikes or buns or, you know, any other thing that can delay the, you know, supply of the order, and the time needed to deliver an order based on a realistic understanding of distances, logistics and other procedural issues which may be like octroi payments and entry tax payments and so forth at various state borders can affect distribution service levels. Let us look at what is supply chain. supply chain is nothing but the complete set of firms, which means all the companies and organizations, facilities, logistics activities, operational details that come together or converge together in procuring materials, supplying them to the manufacturer, transforming them into finished goods, and finally distributing them to customers. Now, the supply chain is an end-to-end process. It begins with the organization, integrates the organization's suppliers and also the organization's distributors, thereby creating what we call a truly extended organization. So you have an organization in the middle, you have the suppliers at the back end, you have the distributors on the front end, and the customers attached to those distributors, all of them working, all the organizations, all the companies, all the individuals, all the IT, technology, software, systems and processes which come together to enable the supply of raw materials from the suppliers to the manufacturers and the supply of finished goods from the manufacturer to the distributors and thereon to the customers is called the supply chain management. Supply chain management involves use of advanced IT tools, technologies and systems for better information flow so as to be able to coordinate at the lowest possible cost the physical distribution of goods. It may use EDI as a standard. EDI stands for Electronic Data Interchange, and EDI is nothing but the use of electronic processing instead of physical paper for processing of all the documents related to a purchase order. The transporting function is the narrow function of moving the goods from point A to point B, which means it can be moving the goods from A, the supplier, to the manufacturer. It could be moving the finished goods from the manufacturer to the warehouses, from the warehouses to the distributors, from the distributors to the wholesalers, to the wholesalers to the dealers, and finally to the customers. So this is the function of the physical transportation, physical movement of goods. It is very costly. It's the most costly process in the distribution management, and there are lots of government rules and regulations which may influence transportation, especially if you're carrying hazardous goods or if you're carrying chemicals, petrochemicals or pharmaceutical goods. And there are also government laws, rules, regulations on octroi, entry tax and movement of goods from one area to another, which may impact the transport function significantly. What are the transport alternatives an organization has? An organization can transport goods through railways, ships, trucks, inland waterways, pipelines, airlines, containers and ropeways. So these are the major transportation alternatives available to an organization. It can use containerization. Containerization is nothing but the combination of various items into an economical shipping quantity, sealing them in a protective thing which is called a container and for transiting to its final destination. Piggyback or what we call multimodal transport systems, which is a ride on two or more different modes of transport. You may have a container getting loaded at point A on the rail, on the railway, coming to another place like Bombay where there's a port, and then from there on getting onto a ship and going on to its final destination. So that's what you call piggyback using multimodal transport systems. The storage function is the marketing function of holding goods or inventory for and on behalf of the manufacturer. Inventories have to be defined in the supply chain process as to the quantity of the inventory that needs to be maintained at each stocking point, what is the reorder level, what is the storing technology of that for that product, how are you going to identify these products are stored in this part of the warehouse, how are you going to identify the products, how are you going to retrieve the products in the fastest possible manner. All goods are stored at a cost. You may require specialized storage facilities, equipment like forklift trucks, you may require hoists and cranes to move the goods from one part of the warehouse or to load them onto trucks or unload them from trucks as the case may be. So this is the storage function or distribution, the supply chain management. completely unifies the competencies and the resources of the business functions, both within the firm and also outside the firm, with aligned to the channel partner, aligned to the suppliers, to create the supply chain management and the flow of channel, which is changed from push to pull. So instead of pushing the products to the channel tries to pull it from the supply chain management. Distribution management currently has also got impacted by other things that are coming in, like lean production, just-in-time production, which redefines the manufacturing process by reducing inventory levels to a level to deliver raw materials just when they are needed on the shop floor, so as to minimize the cost of production of that product. So you have just-in-time production, you have lean production, you also have distribution getting impacted by the requirements of the different quality systems like ISO 9000 and TS 14000. And finally, electronic data change is nothing but the IT technology and infrastructure that replaces paper documents by electronic documents to do regular business transactions. The supply chain management decision is based on a number of parameters like cost, transit time, the flow of material, the warehousing strategy, the accessibility and traceability of products across the entire logistics and supply chain. What are the current trends in supply chain management? Yes, technology. Supply chain management is one of the largest users of IT technologies and ERP systems to synchronize the flow of goods and information with customer demand and requirements. It works on outsourcing logistics, it works on third-party logistics, which is called 3PL and electronic distribution in a very big way. So these are the changes that are happening in the supply chain management, which is impacting distribution strategies. And finally, coming to the summary, channel strategy or distribution strategies are an important part of the marketing mix. A marketing channel is a set of interdependent organizations that facilitate the transfer of ownership of goods and services from producers to business users or consumers. Channel intermediaries bridge the gap between the output required by customers and the service output provided by the manufacturers. They create time, place, possession, and form utility for the customers. Consumer products and industrial products are serviced or requires different kind of channel intermediaries. There are three levels of distribution intensities, which are intensive, selective, and exclusive. And supply chain management is becoming or has become a very important function in the entire distribution management. Thank you so much for your time and attention in this long chapter. Thank you.